Okay, just as an introduction to Perek Gimel, you're going to see in this Perek there's a lot of Greek sieves, right, where you read it one way and it's written the other, but in fact there's actually something very unique here, because you find a couple of cases where there's nothing written and we still read a word, right, and we'll see the converse. You find that a word's written, we just completely miss it out. Normally, Greek sieve, it's written one way, you read the same word but a different way. Slight change. Here we've got words that actually don't exist in the Megillah, we still read them. And then you've got the other way around, which is where it's written and we just read nothing. Now, we're not going to actually deal with that question, why they're not written at all. But as I said, in this parak, more than any of the other parak in the Megillah, you'll find there's really quite a lot of Greek sieves. So we're going to try, at least, and perhaps this would give some sort of theme to the others as well. We've already had a couple in each of the other parak in Perek Dalet has also got a couple. Maybe it answers those as well, but I'm going to try and give a theme through these ones. But in order to do that, we first have to just be maktim in something which is going to be very necessary for this Perek and perhaps the next Perek as well, which is to understand a bit more behind what the mitzvah of Yibum. Right? This is what's going to happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you pretty much what the Malbim says in Pasuk Dalet. We discussed this quite some great length in around Parshas Vayeshev. We had various shurim and we discussed Yibum then. Which is along the same sort of lines as the Malbim, but perhaps slightly different, we said then. But he says like this, that the Neshama comes into this world, and obviously the Neshama feels a bit out of place in this world, right? And somebody who's, let's say, who is very, I don't know what the word is, like the Pasuk says, I think a lot of the Gemara brings this Pasuk in Gittin, about a very noble woman who felt, you know, she was very, you know, any dirt, anything, I can't think of the word. Yeah, that's the Gemara there. So, in Hebrew, it's called an istanis. I don't know if there's right. So, somebody who feels. So, the Gemara says that she took her shoes off and she went and she stood in some and she stepped on some dung and she died as a result of it. So, the Malbim says that if somebody feels, you know, they can't step on dirt, what do? They put on shoes. So too, the Neshama comes in this world, a dirty world, it's an impure world, so what does it do? It puts on a shoe. What's the shoe? The shoe is the body, right? So the body is often right. We find this, Shal Na'al Chomi Al Raglecho, he says, that's Peshat in the Pasuk, perhaps a slightly deeper Peshat in the Pasuk, Shal Na'al Chomi Al Raglecho, we find with Moshe, also with Yeshua, take off your shoe when Hashem came to speak to him. That means take off your body, because we're going to, you're speaking to Hashem, it's the Neshama, which is, okay. So he says, therefore, when a person, that's Peshat, the Neshama comes into the body. He says, when a person dies, if he's got children, then fine. The Neshama's continued on into the next generation, into the body of his child. It's a continuation, if you want, of his Neshama, whatever this means. He says, if a person dies without children, then what happens is his Neshama is left without a body, and therefore it feels very, very uncomfortable. Right? Now, until anything happens, it seems it's somehow, it's sort of jingling around, it's rattling inside the body of the wife. This fits very nicely with what I think we did mention this. The Medrash Ne'elam says that the wife, the Isha, is always, she is the body of the man, right? He's the Neshama, she's the body, right? So therefore, you've got this thing. If a man, right, he's been married and he doesn't have, so then there's this thing. He says the mitzvah of Yibum is that it comes along and the idea is that the brother will have a child, and al-shem achim ha-meis, which means that the neshama then continues on into that, through that. Now, if that's the idea of yibum, if however there isn't any yibum, then what do we do? We do chalitza. Chalitza is exactly that message, say, beis chalutza noam, which means that we take off the shoe to say to him, you've done exactly that. By not doing yibum, you've left this neshama without a body. Right? That's how the Malbim explains it. I will just mention that because when we did Parashat Vayeshev, we explained Chalitza slightly differently, which is not going to be relevant for this, but it's just worth noting. I think it was either the Rakanti or the Levushan, because the Levushan comments on the Rakanti explains it at great length there. And the basic idea was that he explained that Chalitza is actually more than that. Chalitza is another way of being Mesakin, the Neshama. In other words, there's not only one way, right? There are other ways. The idea of Chalitza is, if you want, it releases the Neshama. Now the Neshama is not bound down, because remember, as long as the Yibum hasn't been done, the woman is asked to get married to anyone else. And then we can find other ways, other tikkunim. There are other tikkunim for the Neshama. The Neshama won't be like that for the rest of it. That's what he says. It's just worth mentioning that it's not left there, you know. Right. But either way, going back to this, this is the Malbim's approach. And he says, because of this, we're going to find in Perek Dalet that the child, Ovid, which was born to Boaz, it was referred to, everyone called it the son of Normi. Why was it the son of Normi? It's very simple, because whose neshama are we talking about? If it's a neshama of Machlin. So the child, right, then Machlin was left, he died without children, he was married to Rus, he died without children. So his neshama was, as it was, rattling around inside Rus. She goes, and she has a child together with Boaz, and this child is a continuation of Machlin. Who is Machlin? Machlin was the child of Normi. So says the Malbim, that's why he was a child of Normi. Right? If you want it a bit like a surrogate mother, right? Rus was a bit like a surrogate mother. She was carrying the fetus, right, the neshama, if you want, of the son of Normi, right? A bit like a surrogate mother. You could look at it like that. With this in mind, I think perhaps we'll be able to have some sort of, we can understand a bit of what's going on with the Korean Sibs, because what we're seeing here is that actually there's two stories running parallel to one another. You've got the simple understanding, which is as you read it, Rus is going from Moab up to Eretz Zor, she's going to get married to Boaz, she has a child, Obed, and then David comes forth. But we understand there's actually something much deeper going on here, and that is it is the journey of David HaMelech's Neshama, right? It's the journey from Moab, as I once heard from Moshe Shapiro, he says that's what it means. David HaMelech was the first Baal Teshuvah. What means the first Baal Teshuvah? Cain, Odom, they all admit they sinned. So what it means the first Baal Teshuvah? It says he was Hakim Uloi Shel Teshuvah. He was the one who sort of established the Baal Teshuvah movement, the Kirub movement, if you want. What's Pshat? He says that he was the first one, he carved a path for us to follow, Baal Teshuvah. Because he came from Moab. Moab is Gematria 49, we mentioned this is the 49 levels of Tumah. It's the place of absolute Tumah. And he went from that extreme to the other extreme. Which we'll discuss, perhaps, if we have time, at the end of Perek Dalad, we'll discuss where he reached. We'll discuss it a bit in this Perek. But that's the... That was the idea that he carved this path from one extreme to the other, one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum. That was what David HaMelech did. Why am I saying this? Because he was the first, as we said, this was the path which he took throughout life, through life, from Moab to the other extreme. And that's where you find that's what's going on here. Rus is she's carrying this neshama inside her. That's why she converted was. From above, as we said, and Nesiva speaks about, is because David HaMelech had to come forth. And therefore she was carrying, this was the other journey which is going on. You've got two journeys, the journey of Rus and the journey of the Neshama of David HaMelech. And with that idea, I think we're ready now to start the...
So Rus had the potential of having the Neshama of David HaMelech.
She was carrying it inside her, yeah. In the form of...
She was going to come out later generations.
Right. And so obviously these ideas are very, very deep, and so we're just trying to understand the way the Malbim, and we'll see the Nesiva, just we can understand on some sort of level. That's what's going on over here. So, Pasuk Aleph of Perek Gimel. Va'tomer loch Normi chamoso. And Normi, her mother-in-law, said to Rus, remember, all the harvest is finished, the wheat, the barley harvest, and she's come back to stay with her mother-in-law. And now, at this juncture, her mother-in-law, Normi, says to her, Biti, my daughter, halo abakesh loch monoach, will I not, or should I not, seek for you now peace, right, a life of tranquility, asher yitav loch, which would be good for you. In other words, if you remember back in Perek Aleph, I think it's about Posuk Ches or somewhere, Posuk Ches maybe, it said that when Posuk Ches, I think it says, Yas Hashem Lochem Chesed, right? Hashem should do Chesed for you. And what was the Chesed? I think it said in Posuk Ches maybe, Umetzeno Menucha. Posuk Ches, yeah. He will find for you Menucha. And what was the Menucha? Isha Beis Isha, each woman in the house of her husband. Perhaps we could add, as the Malbim said, that what's the, he explained there that if a woman wanted to get remarried, she would go back to her mother's house. If she didn't want to get remarried, then she stayed in. She just built a home for herself. And, right, either way, fine. That was the clue. People wanted to know, should we, shouldn't we, does she want to get married? That was the clue. Now, remember here, Rus, right, I'm just suggesting, Rus hadn't gone back to her mother's house. She said, right, Normi told her to, and she said, no, I'm coming with you. She viewed Normi as her mother figure. But she didn't go back to her mother's house. Now, as a result of that, therefore, people may not realize she wants to get married. So therefore, Normi said, that's why I see it as a responsibility. I'm just suggesting a bit more than the Malbim says here. That's why I see it. I'm taking it upon myself and comes upon me to find you a wife. Asher yitav loch. He says, one thing, finding menucha, says the Malbim. I'll find you a husband, right? I'll find you the husband. But a husband doesn't necessarily mean he'll be good for you, right? Will he treat you well? I'll find you one asher yitav loch, which will be match, will be the right one for you, will treat you well. Posuk base. The Atzoah now, hello Boaz Mudatonu, is not Boaz our relative, right? Asher Hayisus Naris of the you were together with his female workers. Hinehu Zoreh es Goren Hasarim Haloilo. Behold, he is tonight. He will be winnowing the barley, thrashing floor, right, the harvest. Now, what she's about to do is she's going to tell, and this is a very, very difficult parasha to understand, the whole thing of going and lying by his legs, we'll explain that when we come. But the first thing is obviously, what are people going to think? She's about to tell Rus, go down to the threshing floor. What are people going to think? She says, don't worry, they'll assume, why are you coming down? Because remember, it was a big simcha, right? This time we see this is a time of simcha, right? That's why between I think it's Hanukkah and Shavuos is a time of bringing Bikurim, because it was a time of big simcha, the time of the harvest. Sorry, Shavuos, that's it, Shavuos to Hanukkah is a time of simcha, that's the time when you read it, correct, right, after that. So it's a time of simcha, so therefore they're going to assume you're coming to share in the simcha. Why? Because he's a member of our family. Hello, Boaz Modaton is not Boaz, a member of our family, he's a relative of ours, and therefore you're coming to share in his simcha. And number two, Asher Yisus Na'arisov. Remember, you spent 3 months together with his female workers. I think you're just coming to, you know, have a bit of a chat with them. How are you? Catch up with the latest news. I mean, it doesn't seem there's much of a space and time here, but still, they'll assume that's why you're there. You know, because they're tonight, isn't it? It's the time that they're going to thresh. Everyone will assume that's why there's a big party tonight. So you're coming to join in, right? So Pasuk Gimel. And you should wash yourself, vosacht, and you should anoint yourself, in other words, prepare yourself. The Rashi says it means a bit more than that. It's berochat, means you should wash yourself of avodah zara. You find this by Basia Basparo. It also says there, right, she went down to lirchutz, and it says lirchutz megilude beisovia, to wash off from avodah zara. Vosacht, he says, means anoint yourself with the mitzvahs. Right, so you've got the sumeira of atitovia. You've got getting rid of the negative and taking on the positive. And then she says, v'samt, here we come to the first Greek siv, v'samt simlosayich olayich, and you should place your clothes upon you. Now, and then the orad tagor, you should go down to the threshing floor. So let's go one by one here. The first thing is, Rashi says, these clothes were special clothes. What were they? They were Shabbos clothes. Right, the simple pshat is, because this was the first meeting, it's the first shidduch, therefore, go in Shabbos clothes. But we'll see in a minute that perhaps it means something a bit more than that. The Malbim says, it doesn't say velovasht, you should wear your clothes, these special clothes. Vesamt, you should place them on your shoulder, in other words. Because obviously, not like, as we'll see, Rashi understands if she was actually telling her to put on the clothes, because later on she didn't do that. We'll see, it's coming. But he says, no, place it on your shoulder, because obviously she realized it would be a bit suspicious if you come. Yes, it's a major simcha, but no one's wearing their Shabbos clothes. Well, you can wear your Shabbos clothes. Just put them in a bag under your arm, you know, over your shoulders. Don't make it too obvious. But what's this similar? Right,
so we've got. She will change into them when she meets Boaz.
That's what we're going to see. She's going to change later on, correct? So, but you're going to come down to the field, right? First to the field, not to the goyim straight away, right? The goyim and the threshing floor is at the end of the field. They did the winnowing in the middle of the field. So the Arad Tagoyim we'll come to in a minute. But first of all, you'll come down to the field and you'll join in the party, right? We're coming to the Arad Tagoyim in a minute. Let's just put that to the side a minute. First of all, you've got, what's this Greek siv? It says simlosayich, and it's written in Greek, it's simlosayich, I suppose, right? So, one of the pshatim I saw is that simlosayich is the same gematria, if you read it as simlosayich, right, is as a neshamis, which fits already very nicely with what we're going on, with what we're saying. The kri is, you should go down, just wear nice clothes. In the ksiv, which is always, we don't read it, that's behind, what's going on behind the story, is this is the story of neshamis, right? Why it's not only probably, I don't know why it's neshama, it's talking about one neshama. So I thought the other, perhaps another pshat I saw is similar seich, they say is a specific garment. That's the Shabbos clothes. That's where do you get Shabbos clothes? So they say that's in the ksiv. Now why Shabbos clothes? The reason is, I think, is that this, because Shabbos clothes is a remez to David HaMelech. David HaMelech, he went through his avod, as we said, was he was coming from Moab all the way up to what we call to Shabbos. He came from the Tumas to Shabbos. 7 weeks. That's the idea of 7 weeks, right? 7 weeks is Shabbos is a day, is Me'en Olam Habo, is a day when all these impurities are put aside and we just bask in the glory of the Shekhinah, right? We go into the domain of Hashem. So therefore, that's the idea of the Shabbos, because it's a remnant of what, that was the Avodah of David HaMelech. He lived 70 years. Why 70 years? 60 years, 6 days of work, and then 70 years. We'll discuss. He didn't actually have a birthday. Right, Rosh Spirit points this out. He never had a birthday. He was born on Shavuos, we assume, right? But Shavuos is not actually fixed. It's just 50 days after Pesach. Nowadays it's fixed, but it could be theoretically 4th, 5th, or 6th. According to at least one opinion in the Gemara. So we'll see this is all because he lived in another plane, right? We'll discuss the end of Perek Dalet perhaps. But the basic idea is that we're going to see it a couple of times. This was his Aveda. His Aveda, as I said, Ramesh Shapiro just speaks about this idea in Moel. That's why he came from Moel. He had to erase all the impurities. Just like we did when we came out of Mitzrayim. We came from the Tumas of Mitzrayim all the way up to Matan Torah. He did the same. He came from Moel. He was born, his roots were in Moel, and he raised us up to Moshiach, right? So that's why perhaps the Shabbos goes. And that's the Simla Seich. The simple understanding is go in your nice clothes. Then it says, V'yorad Tagore. Now once, in other words, once everyone's gone home, or they think you've gone home, then you should go down to the threshing floor. Until now, she will have been in the field. It doesn't mention anything, right? You should go to the field. That's what you have to understand. You've got to read them between the lines here. You'll go to the field while they're winnowing. Pretend to, enjoy join in their party. And then, when no one's looking, you slip out and go down to the threshing floor, which is where he's actually going to sleep. Now, again, you'll notice it's written, V'yorad ti. So Rashi says, it means my zechus will go down with you. It's normally speaking, I will go down, my zechus will go down with you. But based on what we've said, we can add a bit to that. Then remember, this is physically who's going down here is Rus. Spiritually who's going down is Normie. Because the child who's going to be born is Normie, as the Malbim said, is Normie's child. Therefore it's V'yorad ti. You're going to see this. Because Rashi's Peshat, I don't know how it's going to fit into the next Pasuk, but Shochot. You're going to see the same thing there. And you should lie down. My zechus will lie down. How do you fit it into the words there? So we'll see when we get there. It fits according to this. So therefore, you should go down to the threshing floor when no one's looking. Everyone will think you've gone home. Al tivod iloish. Don't let anyone know. According to Rashi, that means don't let Boaz know. Don't let him know that you're there. According to the Malbim, it means don't let anyone know. They will think you've gone home. Ad kadosu le'echol v'lishtos. Until he's finished eating and drinking, right? Because we'll see he ate and drank. Now, as far as I understand, the pshat is that he ate and drank in the field. That's what the Malbim says it later on, right? He didn't come down. He came to the goren. He came to the threshing floor only once he'd finished eating and sleeping. So she said, don't let him know. And sorry, drinking. Right? Once he finished eating and drinking, then he came to sleep in the goren. So in other words, don't let him know anything. Don't leave any clues. You just hide in there until he comes down.
Just two questions here. First of all, what about the kriksev on the summit?
We don't have...
No,
there isn't one here. This is the second time you've had one and we haven't.
Oh, okay.
We had it in Pasuk in Perek Beis. I think you also had a Likata. We did, there was no in. There's no here. I have to check out the ticker.
Oh, okay. And I understand eating and drinking. He's still working.
After he'd finished working.
He'd finished all the winning.
Everyone went home. Maybe they'd carry on the next night.
The last night of winning, maybe.
It may have been all possibly. This was the first night. Maybe they'd continue afterwards. This was like the first opportunity.
Perhaps they make a celebration before the farming work is over.
Because you're in the middle of this. It could have been 2 or 3 days. Yeah. Maybe longer.
Yeah. The whole thing was a time of simcha. Or it means he ate and drank as in he was just having salsa. But everyone was in a joyous mood either way. Yeah. I don't know whether they did it all in one night. I'm not sure what the... Okay, so Posik Dalit, Vihi Vishokva, and it shall be when he lies down, right? Literally with his lying down. Vyodat as Hamokim Asha Yishkav Shol. Because remember, he's then going to come into the threshing floor and he'll go to sleep there. You will know the place where he will lie down. Because remember, if you don't go into the Goren now, then what's going to happen? You're going to come in the middle of the night. It's pitch black. They didn't have street lamps in those days. So you're not going to know where he is. So at least here, I suppose it will still be dark when he comes in, but maybe he'll come in with a candle at least, because otherwise he won't know where he's going. So you'll at least be able to see where, or maybe you'll hear where you'll get a sense of where he is. Uvos, and then you will come, v'gilis margalosov, and you will uncover his legs, v'shochovt, and you will lie down. Now based on what we've said, it fits very nicely. V'shochovt, physically speaking, you will lie down. In a deeper sense, v'shochavti, the ksiv is, I will lie down. Then according to Rashi, I'm not sure, my zechus will lie down, your lying down will be together with my zechus. According to what we're saying, it's for shochavti. This idea of lying down is actually a connotation of something more, in other words, having a relationship with him. V'shochavt, right, so v'shochavti, this in a deeper sense, in a spiritual sense, is also I will be there. Now, the Malbim says, now this is actually where he explains, in this possibility he explains that what Yibam is all about. So he says, what's this going on here? You uncover his legs and lie down. This is a very difficult part. He says, no, what you're hinting to him, you obviously can't go to him outright and say, do Yibam to me, right? It seems as well, perhaps this is the first night that he could have done Yibam. Because remember, there had to be 3 months after the conversion, right? Because in the lady show, they were bothered by this, because he doesn't seem to know what's going on, Right? He knew all about the Yibam. It seems this was the first night. And she said, obviously you can't come and say, knew what's going on already, right? And obviously it's passage, she can't go and ask him out, right? So therefore, she was going to hint. How would she hint? Uncover his legs. That means taking off the shoe, as if there's no shoes there. That's either you're going to do chalitza or v'shochot. You're going to lie with me, i.e. you're going to marry me. And that's the idea of shechiva, lying together. Right? So she's hinting to him. Either you do one or the other. Right? That's why she had to uncover his legs. To hint there's chalitza is a possibility as well. Do one or the other. But one of them you have to do. Then she says, then he will tell you what you should do. In other words, leave it at that point. What will happen? He'll tell you whether he's going to do Yibam, whether it's going to be somebody else who will do Yibam. Just leave it to him. You've done your part. You've hinted to him. One or the other, and leave it to him now. Yeah?
So is the plan that there should be that night.
Now, I've got a suspicion that she thought there was perhaps it was going to happen that night, yeah. Right? Wow. I'm not sure. Either that or perhaps not. I mean, the posh pshat is not. She was just saying hint to him. This was a way of hinting what's happening. Other than you'll see next morning he got it all done. By the next night they were married.
Yeah.
But from later on, I'd like to suggest pshat in the posh that maybe she thought maybe something was going to happen tonight already. Perhaps.
Him came for a chatz. Pasuk Gimel is Lashon going to mikveh.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
No one says that.
I can't say no one because I haven't. In fact, actually, maybe I did see somebody. I think maybe somebody does say that. I'm not definite, but I'm sure somebody would say. Yeah, it would make sense. Okay, so Pasuk Hey, Vatomer Eileho, and she said to her, i.e., Rusa back to Normi, Kol Asher Tomeri Eilai Eser, all that you say to me, right, I will do. Now again here, the Greek sit, what's the Eli? So again, the simple pshat, even without getting into what we said, I would have said is like this. That remember, Normi was going to be speaking directly to her, saying, all that you will say to me, right? Everything you direct to me, I will do. There's also this reading in between the lines. Some things maybe Normi feels a bit awkward, maybe she wouldn't want to say to Rus, right? She wouldn't want to say to Rus outright. So she'd hint to it, she'd just speak in a general way, and Rus should take the hint. So she said, Kodash Etomri Eli Es, everything that you say to me, I will do. And you know something? Kodash Etomri, also all that you just say as a general thing, and I'll take the hint, Esa. As I once heard from the Mashkiach, Mordechai Yosef Kanovsky in Gateshead, he says, a good child can read between the lines, right? If a parent, they know full well what their parent wants, their parent doesn't have to spell it out for them, right? The parent feels they don't want to be too, the whole time saying no. But he knows full well they don't want him to do something. A good child will be able to sense that. So here's what. But again, going on what we said before, again, you've got the same idea. In a simple sense, in a physical sense, everything you say to me, I will do. But also there's something else. You're not just speaking to me, you're also speaking to what's going on in a higher sense. You're speaking to the neshama. All that you say, not to me, I will act in accordance with that. I will go down in order to pave the way for that. Then she goes on in Pasuk Vav, Vatira Tagoyen. Obviously, following the winnowing, she then sneaked in, she went down into the threshing floor, Vatas, and she did, Kacharashet Tivato Chamoisach. And she did like all that her mother in law commanded her. Now, you've got here Rashi. Rashi says here that you'll note the order. She first went into the threshing floor, and then she did all that her mother in law, she washed, she anointed herself and she dressed. Now that's simply because Rashi says that beforehand, normally put it the other way around. You should wash, anoint yourself, wear the clothes, and then you're up to Tigeria. So she said, no, the correct thing is obviously the other way around. Everyone's going to be a bit suspicious if I walk in Shabbos clothes, just had nicely perfumed and everything. So they're going to be a bit suspicious. So she did it the other way around. But according to the Malbim, he agrees with that she only did this afterwards. But according to the Malbim, it's not so difficult because she didn't change it around completely. Because, yeah, she wasn't wearing a Shabbos clothes yet. She was never taught to wear a Shabbos clothes. Just put it on your shoulder. Mm. As for the washing, he does see the washing and the anointing. She also did that there. Okay. So, Pasuk Zion. I noticed that just now as well. I don't know how. I only noticed it now. Why is it no Muppet K? Yeah. I just noticed that as well. I don't know. I only noticed it now, so I haven't looked at that. Okay, something to look up. Okay, Pasuk Zion. Vayechal, although the truth is, again, actually it just occurred to me, based on what we just said, yeah, because it's something she commanded her, and it's also something which wasn't commanded directly to her. It was something
without the word
Eli. So possibly it continues with that. A bit like we have with the law. The Medrash says on the word law, we had, it's a law without the Mapikei, and the Medrash is Pshat. One of them was, was because Lo, when it was Lekachto, because he wasn't just speaking to her. Lo is into her, but also Lo was to some, generally, everyone should come for supper.
So you could say, the word the ksiv of tzivata is also tzivasar.
Yeah, exactly. As she has commanded, yeah. So, Pasuk Zayin. Vayechal Boaz, and Boaz ate, vayesht, and he drank, vayitav leboy, and literally his heart, he made his heart good. In other words, Rashi says he was osik in Torah. Right. Obviously, before going to bed, a righteous man like Boaz, what would he do? Obviously, last thing, he was osik in Torah. Vayovo, and he came, lishkav, to lie down, biksei ho'areimo. He, in other words, as the mom says, he now came in. At this point, he came into the threshing floor, lishkav, to lie down, biksei ho'areimo, at the edge, next to the pile of produce. I think the point in that being, the Rashi already says earlier, I mean, I didn't bring it in then, but he says, why did he sleep in the threshing floor? Why didn't he go home? He says, because he was afraid of Ganovim. So that makes sense. Presumably that's why he was lying right next to the
produce.
Yeah, exactly. Because anyone who came in, that would be wake him up, the noise of moving it, maybe even they, right, you know, touching it. So that was the point, that was the reason why he was lying there. And she came in secret, she came, Rashi says, Benacha, she came quietly. And she uncovered his legs. And she lay down. In line with what she was told from Normie, the idea of uncovering the legs, the remes, the chalitza, Batishkov, is the yibum. So, Posuk Ches, and it was at midnight. And the man was, he suddenly got afraid, referring to Boaz. And he was seized. We'll speak about that in a minute. The Hinei Isha, and behold, a woman, Shecheves Margulosov, was lying at his legs. Now, what's this Vayil Ofes? Rashi says it's a lotion we find with Shimshon. It says Vayil Pesh Shimshon, the story of Shimshon when they already poked out his eyes and he was standing there by the pillars. Right? They were having a whole feast because they finally caught Shimshon, so he dumped Hashem for a last sort of surge of strength. And says that the Ruach of Hashem came upon him, Vayil Pesh Shimshon, he took hold of the pillars and he pulled them and everyone's saying he died with them. Thomas Nafshi, right? Right. So he says, but here it doesn't say Vayilpos, anyone actually took hold of him. It says Vayilofes, which is Nifal, right? And he was seized. Who by? This is, again, it fits very nicely. It was the Neshama of David HaMelech. And I'll prove it again. I've got a further proof to this in a second. But it was seized by the Neshama of David. David HaMelech, suddenly his Neshama was aroused. And suddenly Boaz didn't know what was going on. Something was sort of telling him, wake up, wake up. How do I know? I've got a further proof that it's David HaMelech. What's Bachati Alayla? Why midnight? Why not? I don't know, 10 o'clock. Because what did David HaMelech say? He says, Bachatos Alayla Okum Lehodes Lachal Mishpatei Tzikecho. And the Gemara asks the Stira, it says that he was already up from the beginning of the night. And one of the Peshat in the Gemara is that until midnight he was slumbering. At midnight he got up, right? He got up just like a thing and he, very strong and mighty, and he sang to Hashem. So, Vayhi Bachatzi Alayla, it was at midnight, suddenly the Neshama of David HaMelech was aroused, and he didn't, Vayilo face, suddenly Boaz was seized by this sense of some ruach, something, I obviously it was something spiritual, but, right, and he didn't know what was going on. So, the truth is, just another thing, why Bachatzi Alayla, another possibility is also Bachatzi Alayla, could be because of Makas Bechiris. This was David HaMelech was going to redeem Klal Yisrael, he was going to, Moshiach, this is all, when we talk about David HaMelech, we're also referring to Moshiach. Which is like Yitzias Mitzrayim, everything came to the grand finale, Bachatzi Alayla, not Kachatzis, it's Bachatzis Alayla, at midnight. But either way, so you've got David HaMelech here, so he didn't know what was going on, but he says the
harp used to play, wasn't it midnight? That's it.
That's the Gemara there, yeah. Right, it was come, yeah. The northern wind would come along and it was blowing, that's how, exactly. So, and that, the Gemara says that's how he knew it was exactly at midnight, because it says, Moshe Rabbeinu says Kachatzis, how did he... That's one of the pshatas of the Gemara is. See how this half. That's it. The Hinei Yishar Shecheves Margulosov. Presumably, according to what we're saying, it means, and he didn't know what was going on, but there was a woman. There was a woman lying by his feet. Rashi says he felt her head. I think maybe the Bali Tosis bring down. He was worried. Maybe there's a shade here. There's a demon. Does he bring the? He doesn't say about the shade. He just says he felt.
Rashi says
sorry, earlier.
Yeah, right.
Ah, correct. Yes, that's what I saw. Right, so because they say it later on, they say it as well later on. We'll see the same idea again. So he thought there was a demon there, but there was a woman there. He felt her head, and he knew then that it wasn't. There was a woman lying by his feet. So Vayomis, he said, Mi'ot, who are you? Right, now people say, what do you mean, who are you? The answer is pitch black. He knew there was a woman there, but he didn't know Rus. Right, I mean, he didn't know that it was Rus. She hadn't said anything. She says, who are you? presumably he wasn't expecting Rus to do it in this fashion. So he didn't suspect it would be Rus. So Batemesh, she said, Onechi Rus Amosecho. She said, I'm not, there's no priesthood, there's no frivolity. You may think, what am I doing here? I'm Rus, your maidservant. Says the Malbim, just like a Jewish maidservant, there's a mitzvah on the master to perform the mitzvah of Yiud, which is to marry her. So too, you have a mitzvah of Yiud to marry me. That's what I'm doing here. No priest is intended here. On Echi Rus Amosecho, I am Rus, your maidservant. That's why he picks out Amosecho. And you should spread your wings over your maidservant, which the Malbim says the posh pshat is like birds. Birds, they spread their wings when they mate, they spread their wings over one another. Like Klal Yisrael perhaps are referred to as a yoina, right? So we find this idea of wings. So kiko et otto, because you are the redeemer, you are the one who is ready to perform Yibin. She knew you are the right one. Now the Malbim also says something slightly interesting on this, and I'd like to explain it a bit more. And he says that this. He says, the Gemara says in Menachos, it tells a story, you may have heard of the story, there was a certain zonah, there was a certain harlot who used to charge a lot of money, 400 kesef, Zohar, I can't think it's kesef, for her work. And there was a man who was very, very, very muckfit on the mitzvah of sitzis, and he once, it's not the story with the... No, it's a different one.
It's one of the Gemara, the guy climbing up the stairs.
Oh, that's the one we're coming to.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's the one we're coming to. Two different stories, I think. Because that's a different one. She blew him a ruach and said, just this ruach is not coming back. So to Elozo ben Zudoy, he's not coming back. So at that point he said, what's going on? He realized, because this is a different story. So he came along, and it says the Isha, I mean, it's a Sifri, he quits from the Sifri, but I believe it's also Gemara. So he comes along, and the maidservant of this woman, she goes in and she says, there's a man waiting for you. So she went up, 7 beds, it says she had, 6 silver and 1 gold. And in between each one there was a silver ladder, and she went up and she undressed herself and she sat on the top. And he came in, did exactly the same, went to the top. And all of a sudden, his sitters banged him in the face. So he went down and sat down on the floor. So she thought, what's wrong with you? She went down and sat down on the floor and she said, you're not going from here. I want you to tell me what's wrong with me. So he said, nothing wrong with you. It's just basically, you know, the sitzer reminded me. And as a result of that, she then dispersed all her money. She gave it all out to good causes, and she went to the Beis HaMedrash, I don't remember who, and she converted, she became a Gioras, and she used these, she said, mattresses, these beds, which I've used for Avira, I'm going to donate them to the Beis HaMedrash, they should be used for a mitzvah. I think it was to the Beis HaMedrash, they should be used for a mitzvah. So our koponim, you see here that the sitzer somehow protect from this Avira. So she was saying here, no, in this situation, your kanaf, your tzitzis, you should spread over me. On the contrary, here, the tzitzis are not to stop you doing it, they're to encourage you to do it. Now, he doesn't explain why would they be to encourage it. And why is it that tzitzis somehow stopped him in the other case? Now, don't just take a couple of minutes just to explain and perhaps a slight pshat in this. And we'll explain kigo el otto. What's kigo el otto? So there's a Gemara in Sota, which says, in the Zechus, that Avraham said to Melech Sodom, he said, in Mechut V'atzerich Nal, I will not take from you, I will not take from even just a thread or a shoelace, I'm not taking nothing from you. So as in the Zechus of that, he met his children married to two mitzvahs. What were those? Tefillin and the tcheles, not the tzitzis. So says the Gemara, I can understand tefillin is a that's a reward. Why? Because the Pasuk says, V'ra'u kol amei ha'aret, that the nations of the world, they will see the name of Hashem is declared upon you. And the Gemara says, Elu tefillin shiborish. They'll see the tefillin on you, and they'll fear you. So it acts as a protection. What about tzitzis? So says the Gemara, well, it says the famous idea, that tzitzis, the tchiles, reminds you of the yam, the sea, and the sea reminds you of the rokia, and the rokia reminds you of the kisei hakovetz, so through that you remember Hashem. So how does the Gemara answer the question? So very nice, I mean, but what's, you just explained me a deeper significance in the mitzvah of tzitzis. But still, what's the reward in that? Based on what we said, it's very good. Because it protects you from doing such avirus. What is it about tzitzis that is unique? So I think, I mean, besides this whole thing, I think the idea in that is something deeper in that idea that goes to the yam, to the rokia, that's like tracing back your roots. What does that mean? We find that we say in the third parasha of Tzitzis, we say at the end, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Yitzisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Something very unique you don't find by other mitzvahs. By the Yom Tovim, it's a Zichel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Various mitzvahs, it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, right? Or Ani Hashem, Ne'emon Nesharim. But here's something you find, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Etzisi Eschem, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's more than just a zikha. This is somehow, there's a link between the sits and the, what's Peshat? Peshat is that other mitzvahs, yeah, they remind you that I am Hashem. This reminds you more than that. It reminds you that I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. Dainu, you look at your tzitzis, it traces all the way back. All the way back to the Kisei HaKovod. Remember under the Kisei HaKovod, Hashem had the Evan, right? That reminded him of the Shibud. Maybe it's got some connection to that as well. But either way, it reminds us of the first moment, if you want, when we were taken on Hashem's wings. Now we understand what's going on in this story, in Menachos. A man who's been married for, let's say, I don't know, 20, 30 years, yes, he can go and commit adultery. He feels he needs a bit of a change or something, right? Never. But somebody who, on the day of their chuppah, they're so excited by their chuppah, they never entertain such a possibility, right? So if a person remembers back to the joy of that day of the simcha, the day when we came out of Mitzrayim, the sense of responsibility of achrayas that we had towards Hashem, he wouldn't be able to do it. He says, I can't do such a thing. I can't do such a thing. And with this idea, we also understand the Gemara says that in the future, anyone who's been kept the mitzvah of sitzes properly, it says that the goyim are going to come along, and 700 of them will take hold of each of your sitzes, right? Okay, you've got 700, is also linked to 7, I'm sure, but that's not what I'm interested in. Why are they going to come and take hold of your sitzes? The answer is very poshut to what we said. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says they're going to come in the future, they're going to say, we also want reward, we want to serve Hashem, give us a mitzvah. Too late. What are they going to do? They'll take hold of the sitzes. As if to say, no, we want to connect back to the time when you came out of Mitzrayim. We want a part in that as well. Obviously, it's not going to work, right? But that's what's going on in the mitzvah of sitzes. It traces back our roots. So therefore, she's saying like this. In this case, however, it's completely the opposite. In this case, the sitzes should encourage you to do the tefillah. Why? Ki goyel oto, because you are the Redeemer. You're going to bring out David HaMelech. And on the contrary, David HaMelech's birth is going to take us back to our roots. It's going to take us back to those days. And this at this stage in Golus, we're in a sense of divorce from Hashem. We discussed in the past. I know the Pesukim do suggest, otherwise you've asked this in the past. But Chazal referred to us, we're somewhat divorced from Hashem. Moshiach's going to come back. Matan Torah, Shavuot. So what I did is that we come and marry Hashem again. Ki Goyelot, you are the Redeemer. By bringing forth David HaMelech, he will bring us back to our roots. Just like the Sitzes trace back our roots to Yitzias Mitzrayim, so too, that's why you should perform this Yivam, because it's going to bring forth David HaMelech, and therefore you'll bring us back. And therefore, that's why on the contrary, the Sitzes here encourage you to perform this mitzvah. This perhaps is a bit more elaborating the words of the Malbim. So Pesuk Yud.
So when it says Kolofecho, does it mean Sitzes?
Yeah, according to this Peshat, it means Sitzes. Yeah. Vayomer, and he said, right, now the Spoyas continuing, Berucho Atz Lashem Biti. You are blessed, Hashem, my daughter and others. I can see you are kavanas al Hashem Shemaim. Although this is a very dangerous act, I can see it's your kavanas al Hashem Shemaim. He taft chastecho acharim in orishon. Your kindness, your latter kindness, is greater than your first one. Now, I'll explain that in a second, but I'd like to suggest, what's Baruch Ad Hashem Biti? If you remember what we said, besides the fact that you could say he's saying that, I'll come back to that pshat in a minute, but based on the Vilna Gaon, there's no Vilna Gaon in these last two parak, and that's why I'm not with the Vilna Gaon. I'd like to suggest, if I may do, based on what the Vilna Gaon told us there in Pshat and Baruch Atah, what did you say? Baruch, he said with Baruch Hu Lashem, like with Bayas, at the end of Perek Beis. It says, Pasuk Yud, Tes Yehi Makirich Baruch, and then in Pasuk Chaf, Baruch Hu Lashem, right? With reference to Bayas. And the Vilna Gaon explained, if you remember, we explained that if a person is worthy, then his stock of money goes to a worthy cause. You've got to merit that. In other words, stocker will be either way. Whatever cause you give it to, it will be stocker. If the person needs the money, it's stocker. But the chesed is greater if the person, the more needy the person is, the more worthy the cause, the bigger the chesed. And that, the more meritorious you are, the more righteous you are, the more likely Hashem is to send you along such a person. So maybe you could say the same thing here. He says, wow, Baruch Atah Hashem Biti, exactly the same words. You must be very meritorious that you've been zecher to such an amazing chesed. It's in the words here. He taft chastech v'acharim in orishon. You've been zecher to such an amazing chesed, a chesed which is bigger than the first one. In other words, the first time you married Machlo, and he was young, he was rich, he was good looking, and everything. He had everything going for him. So that in itself was still a chesed. You were a Moabite. You weren't bound to marry a Jew. But there's a good reason for it. But this time he's dead, and you're going to do yibum. You're going to marry an old man. Boaz was an old man at this point, right? You're going to marry somebody much older than you. You're going to tie yourself down. Why? Because of the chesed to Machlon's neshama. That's a greater chesed than the first time you married him. As I said, that's why he said, Bruchat, why have you been zeichet such a great chesed? Chesed is must, if you're zeichet such a great chesed, it must be that you, yourself, are a very meritorious person. You're a very righteous woman. He says, what's the major chesed? Not to go after the young men. You could go and get married to a young man. You're coming marrying me. Imdal, even if the person was the bocher was a young was poor, it's still better than marrying me. But you know something, the imoshe, you can marry somebody even rich. In other words, whether he's poor or rich, you can marry anyone you want. You're a very righteous woman. You're a very modest woman. You've got amazing character traits, and you've tied yourself down to marry me. Obviously, it's because of the yibam, because of the neshama of machlin. That's a bigger chesed than the first time you married him. It must be that you're meritorious. The other side of the coin is it could be saying Bruch at Hashem Biti is that you are, in other words, I am going to bring the bracha into your house. Yeah, I mean, sorry, he's speaking to her. You will bring the bracha into my house. In other words, he's saying you're going to marry me. Again, the same, the Gon said it there as well, Baruch Hu Hashem, he's fitting. You're fitting to bring the bracha into this house.
So the bracha comes because of the woman.
That's it. Yes,
so by me marrying you, I get a bracha.
That's it. It was in Rashi in yesterday in Parshas Bechukosai. Yeah, with the arochin erchin. It says that's where you find it. That once the woman gets older, it says that the gap closes between the values of the man. And Rashi quotes the Gemara. And that's why the Gemara comes. It says because safta bevesa, she brings the bracha down. She's like the gent. Right? I know the Gemara is actually the one when they're older, but the idea is you see that the woman somehow brings the bracha into the house. The reason why I'm suggesting that is because of the next pasuk. Let's continue to pasuk Kedalah. Sorry.
One quick thing. I don't
know if
it's in Yibam with Machlan is a Moavi.
Oh, very good, very good. Then Steve asked this. I'm coming to that pasuk base. Yeah, that's an excellent question. Pasuk Kedalah. And now, Biti, my daughter, Al Tiri'i, do not be afraid. And I was, don't think I'm just buffing you off and I was pushing you away, because he's about to say, I can't do it yet, right? Again, suggesting that she was expecting something tonight. Well, he understood that at least. He said, I'm not pushing you off, don't be afraid. All that you say, I'm going to do for you, right? I will do Yibam if it's depending on what's going to happen. Because all the people, literally all the gate of my people. In other words, everyone in the Jewish people know ki ishes chayilot. You are a woman of valor. In other words, he's saying that don't be afraid. Number one, says the Malbim, that I'm buffing you off until you go away. I'm pushing you off. No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do either arrange. I will do yibam. I'll arrange for somebody else to yibam. You may also be afraid that people are going to say, but look, Bayaz, you can't do yibam to a Moabite. You can't do it. You're the shofet. You're the judge. The head of the Sanhedrin. You're from Yehuda. You can't do it. He says no, because they all know that you are a very righteous woman. Perhaps you could add as well, called Shar means the Sanhedrin. Maybe. If you find the Shar is off the outside, he says Shar Beis Lechem, that's where the Sanhedrin sat. Even the Sanhedrin, even the top of the, you know, the creme de la creme of Klal Yisrael, they even, they're machshiv you, they think you're an amazing woman. But I think it's the Bali Tosfos, I can't remember why I saw this, but I think it's the Bali Tosfos. They say, Ki Yesh Eschai El Ot, this fits very nicely what we said, Baruch Atzal Hashem Viti, why are you a fitting wife for me? Because Ki Yesh Eschai El Ot, I'm an Ish Gibar Chayil, and you're a Ki Yesh Eschai El Ot. We both got these middas. Chayil could also be is like 48, Kamashia 48 Kinyoni HaTorah. In Eishes Chayil is all about Torah. It could be. No, but you've got everything there. You're a woman of all with all these middas. Fine. So, possible.
What was the true relationship between Boaz and Ruth's husband? His uncle?
Cousins.
Cousins.
Yeah. Machlon, but it depends which line you follow. It depends whether you follow Normie's line or Eli Melech. If you follow Eli Melech's line, it would be first cousins. The father of Boaz and Eli Melech were brothers.
I see.
If you follow Normie's line, then it would be first cousin once removed, I think. Between Machlon and between Machlon and Boaz.
No, between
Eli Melech
and Boaz, you
say they were
cousins.
Oh, sorry, Eli Melech and Boaz. No, it was sorry, Eli Melech and Boaz was uncle. Uncle and nephew.
Boaz had the duty to do Yibum, yeah? The halachic duty.
Not really, but that's what we're about to discuss. That's what Gershon asked. That it's we're going to ask. There was no marriage. Yeah, we'll discuss that. The Atzor, possibly, sorry.
Also, you've got same notion, could I share to me asset without my wedding life?
Oh, yeah.
Same notion.
Yep. Could be something like that as well. I noticed on something else as well, yeah. The Atzor, and now, Ki omnom, we'll read it just as it's written, read for a moment. Right? Now, ki omnom, that it is true, ki goel onoch, that I am a redeemer, I'm a potential, I could do yibum to you, but v'gam yish goel korim emeni, but there is a goel, there is somebody who is closer related than me. Simply understood this means, because Elimelech's brother was called Tov. That was his name. They were brothers. So Tov was a closer relation to than me, right? Even to Machlin, right? Because it means it's just one stage down, yeah? Between Tov and Machlin would be an uncle, yeah? Uncle, nephew. Whereas I, Boaz, Boaz to Machlin are first cousins. He does. That's going to be the Yibam. The Yibam is because of Machlin. Machlin was Rus's husband. Machlin was Rus's husband.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's the Yibam. This Yibam is not Alt's brothers. It's not Alt's brothers.
No.
It's because we find the Yibam can be done theoretically. It's only the Torah says about brothers. But this is not a simple Yibam anyway. We're about to see. It's not to be understood literally. But so therefore, if you follow it round, when you're first cousins, that means you've got to go up one, across one, and down one. The Gemara says this in Sanhedrin. That's a bit further. Whereas an uncle is just across one and down, right? So he says he's closer related to me. But the Nesivos asks this question, which is bothering people, which is right. But in fact, before I come to Nesivos, it's just what's the im then? Rashi already gives a shout. What's the im? Right? We've got the Kasid there. He says, I've got a bit of a doubt here. Am I the girl or am I not? Right? I don't know. It depends on whether Tov decides to do it. Tov's closer related to me or not. I could do Yibam, depending on what Tov does. But we could suggest along the same lines, based on this Nesivos. And Nesivos asked this fundamental question, what's the Yibam here? He asked more than that. He says, why couldn't Boaz just marry Rus? He says, Rus wanted to marry Boaz. She wasn't interested in Tov. She worried about Yibam? It's not proper Yibam anyway, right? Mm-hmm. There was never a marriage there. She was a Moabite. She wasn't a Gieris at that point. So what's going on here? So he says this. He was an absolutely amazing Peshatah, which fits absolutely amazingly into what we've said as well. He says like this, that Boaz was saying, you're right. I am a Goel in terms of bringing forth the Neshama of David HaMelech. I am the perfect one. You know why I'm the perfect one? Because I'm from Yehuda. Yehuda is Malchus. I'm the Av Beis Din. He knew what he was, right? He knew he was the direct descendant of Nachshon Ben Aminadov, right? Grandson of Nachshon Ben Aminadov, right? All the way back. So I've got everything here. He says there's one problem, just one thing, and that is that, take a look by Mordechai. Mordechai says he was Ish Yehudi, Ish Yemini, both from Yehuda and from Binyamin. Ask the Gemara, make up your mind. So one of the answers to the Gemara is his father was from Yehuda and his mother was from Binyamin. I think it's that way around. So, see, what's Peshalach now? Says the Nesivos, because the Yalkut says in Peshalach that Amalek, we have a Kabbalah if you want, that Amalek has to fall into the hands of the children of Rochel. So therefore there has to be, obviously the whole battle there between Mordechai and Haman was a battle of the Jews against Amalek. So there had to be that he had Binyamin within him as well. Obviously Yehuda as well, because that's the Malchus, that's the fighting power, like David HaMelech. He says the problem is that Elimelech and Tov were direct brothers. Right? This he's suggesting. He doesn't have any absolute right to this. He's suggesting now. He says Elimelech and Tov were direct brothers. The Posuk says right at the beginning, Posuk base of Perek Aleph, it says they were Ephrosim. One of the Peshotim suggested in the Mephoshim is they were from Ephraim. He says, well, how were they from Ephraim? They were from Beis Lechem, they were from Yehuda. Nachshon ben Aminod was their father. The answer is their mother was from Ephraim. Now he wants to suggest that Boaz was only related from the father's side, not from the mother's side. Therefore, Boaz said, I'm a complete and utter Yehudi. I have no Ephraim within me. So he says, therefore, Tov is better than me to perform this Yibam. To bring forth David HaMelech, Moshiach, who's going to fend off Amalek, it's better to have somebody who's got the mixture, who's got this already, this...
both parents.
That's it. Who's got both sides, Yehuda and... That's what he wants to say. So he says, I, the Maisa, what happens? In the end, what happens? Tov said he didn't want to do it. When he found out it was Rus, he said, no, I don't want to do it. So where was, if David HaMelech, Moshiach, so where's the Ephraim there? He says, very good. Because who was inside Rus? Machlin. Machlin's neshama was inside Rus. That's the whole point of Yibam. It's waiting to, where was Machlin from? He had Ephraim inside him. Because they were Ephrosim. So he says, therefore, it ends up there was no problem. Amazing idea, he says here. He then goes on and touches into the Pesukim, perhaps we'll come to later, if I remember, we'll come back to having in Perek Dalet. He just touches into the Pesukim there. But therefore, with that idea, you can now fit in very nicely Ki'im Goel Anochi. Because until now, as we've said until now, the Kri is always the Posh Pshat, and the Ksiv is always what's going on a bit more sort of behind the scenes. So again, very nicely. Simply put, if you understand Yibum, simple Yibum, he says, Ki'im Goel Anochi, I am fitting to do Yibum, just as somebody who's more close, sort of a closer relation to you than me, so therefore, it's better that he does it. But let him do it first. But according to this Pshat, he's talking about Yibum in the more spiritual sense. He says, I'm not sure if I'm a fitting girl. Like Rashi said, Im. He didn't say, I'm not a girl. He didn't say, Ki any girl or something. I'm not a girl. And he didn't say, Ki girl on it. I am a girl. He said, Ki im on it. Right? Implying, I may be, I may not be. Dahainu, I'm not really sure if I'm a fitting girl because I've only got Yehuda within me. Yeah? If he doesn't do it, then yes, I'll have to do it. That's why he didn't say, I'm not a girl. But I'm not really fitting, he says, because I don't have Ephraim within me. I don't have Bnei Rochel inside me. See, so. And he's responding to that which she said. Ki goel oto, you are the girl. You are a fitting girl. He says, I'm not sure if I'm a fitting girl. You're assuming I'm a fitting girl because I'm from the tribe of Yehuda. You're right. I'm the, as we said, the pick of the crop of Yehuda. But I have one chisor, and that's why I'm not sure if I'm the best one to do this. Then she continues in. Go on. If you've got.
We mentioned it yesterday on Friday night about the term im.
Yes.
The Gemara of Eli.
Oh.
Is you going to say this?
No, I wasn't going to say that. I didn't.
Yeah, because before it's the other.
Yeah.
It's Kri below Ksiv. AI, and here it's Ksiv below Kri.
And it's single.
I couldn't remember what the word was. That's the same. There's another AI, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, there's another one coming up. Yeah.
Is there another IM?
No, there's no other IMs. No. Not in this packet. No, there aren't any more IMs. That's interesting.
And you get the same thing.
Okay, so Posuk. Posuk Yud Gimel, Lini Halayla, so stay over the night, because otherwise I can't go and speak to Tov in the middle of the night. Vayobar Bukin, it will be in the morning, Im Yigalech Tov, if this brother Tov, brother of Elimelech, he redeems you, Yigal, then all the better, very good, he'll redeem you. Vimlo, and if he doesn't, Vimlo Yachpetz Lagalech, if he doesn't desire, if he's not interested in redeeming you, Uga Altich Onechi, I will redeem you, Chai Hashem. Now Chai Hashem, literally, right, it's Hashem Shvur, right? Literally by the life of Hashem. It means a Shvur. What was the Shvur? So it means that Rashi says, because she said, what are you doing? And he thought, you're, it's nice talk, whatever, but you're basically pushing me off. He said, no, I swear to you, I promise you, I'm in the morning, it'll all be sorted. Right? Therefore, Shikhli Adabay can just lie until the morning. The Medrash says he was swearing to his, he was making a Shvur to his Yetzirah. The Yetzirah was trying to put, egg him on, sort of thing. Look, you're an unmarried man. She's an unmarried woman. No, come on. It's Mitzvah Yibum here. Come on, do it. He says, no, Chai Hashem. He swore to his, he's not going to do it. And therefore, you could say, I suppose, Shechvi Adabalikah. There's two things. He's swearing to her that it will be sorted tomorrow morning. I'm going to speak to Tov. And also he's swearing to his Yitzhara. Nothing's going to happen. Therefore, Shechvi Adabalikah. Therefore, you can stay until the morning. There's no risk of anything happening. So, Vatish Poskir Dalit. Vatishkav Margolesov Atabek, and she lay by his feet until the morning. Now, Margolesov is written without a yud. Correct? Without a yud. Now, so why is that? So one of the pshotim is, because you can read it as Margoloso, right? She was Miragal him, or the Yetzirah was Miragal him. One of the pshotim brought by the body to it was sort of trying to seduce him into doing it, right? But, as we said above, he had already sworn to Yitzhar and nothing's going to happen. I thought, based on that, you could also say Margolosov. You could read it as Margolosov, as in a single leg, like a malach. Uh-huh. A malach only has one leg, right? Once he'd made this shavuah, he was staunch, he was like a malach, without a Yitzhar, sort of thing. Not the Yitzhar had already given up. Whereas it was a man, you know, a strong man, nothing.
It would be better if she'd gone home at this stage. There's no more reason to stay there for the night.
What? No, but I mean, she can't go home in the middle of the night on her own.
No.
So he said, stay here for the moment. Another reason as well given, various reasons I saw why it's lacking yud, is because it's to hint, don't get any ideas, anyone, to try these sort of things. She did it, she had divine inspiration to do such a thing, but for most people it's not a clever idea to be lying at the legs of a man, right? Therefore it says, that's another reason
to
suggest it.
To remind people.
Yeah, it's chosed, it's not for everyone, right? It's not for everyone. It's just, it's not actually in the words, but it's just the yud is taken out. And finally, which is going to lead on, a final pshat, which leads on into the next bit, is Vatishkav, Margolesov, Vatishkav, this is Alpi Remez, that Vatishkav means Knesset Yisrael. Yisrael will lie Margolesov, read Margolus, if you put the vault in the middle between the Lamed and the Tov. Mar Golas, in a bitter Golas. It will lie in a bitter Golas. Now let's continue it. Ad Habakkuk, until the morning. Morning is always until the Geulah. Then Vatokum, now I'll go back to the Pashat and then I'll finish off with that Pashat. Vatokum, and she got up, but Terem Yakeish Israel, before any man would, before Mishiach, in other words, before a man could recognize his friend, it was still too dark. Vayomen, he said, according to Rashi, this means he was just saying to her, according to the Malvim, he was speaking to his Nar apparently did know about this. There was a Nar there. He said, Ali Vodat, do not let it be known, Kivo Ha'isha Ha'garin, that the woman came to the threshing floor. In other words, everyone assumed she went home, he said to the lads, don't let anyone know that she went down to the threshing floor. What's the beterem, right, with extra vav? So the Medrash says the extra vav, it's written with the vav, is to hint at the fact that she got up after 6 hours. Now the Marzu asked, well, after 6 hours, this was in the middle of the summer. Right? If you work out, it's the middle of Tammuz. The night is only 8 hours long. So he says, either it's Shoyes Manias, still okay. Or he says 6 hours from when she went to bed. She went to bed maybe before Chatzos. I mean, they woke up. He woke up in the middle of the night. But either way, it had to be while it was still dark, so no one should see them. But again, another pshat, which I think fits with what we said until now, is that, I don't know what you do with the basin test, but the barley toast bring down that bitorum spells out Rome. You've got Rome in there. It's a, right, and if you read it together with Yaki, you've actually got Rome if you run the two words together. What you do with the rest of the letters is homework. Anyone can find the pshat. Be most grateful because I haven't had a chance to try and work anything out with that. Mm-hmm. But it fits very nice what we said because Matishkav Margolosov, she lay by his feet, right, referring to the Knesset Israel, Mar Golas in the bitter Golas, at Habakkuk until the morning. But Vatokom, Beterim Yakish, it will all be very sudden. They will rise up against Rome and will wipe them out. By Yom Ali Vada, I suppose, according to that means no one will know anything about it. It will be so quick. Fits very nicely. The Gon says the final war in the days of Moshiach will be a 10-second war. It will be so quick they won't know what's hit them. Kivo ha isha hagerin, Rabbi Lozom Mirgamaiser, who is a Rishon, he again is brought in the Bali Tosa, says, Kivo ha isha, the isha is Knesset Israel, they will come back to the Goren, Goren is the Yerushalayim, it's often referred to as the Goren, threshing floor. So what's alluded here, which fits very nicely with the Ksiv, as we said, is David HaMelech, that's Moshiach, that's what's going on in the Ksiv. Just one point is, Batishka Margulisov apparently is the same Kamatria as Bert Ayin, in 70, right? That's the first scholars. The first scholars bubble was 70 years. And the rest of it is, you then got left over is 1,000 and shloh, right? 1,335. Which apparently is Golas Adam. I don't know what it means by that. But apparently that refers to Golas Adam. I don't know if that's what it was, the length was supposed to be. I don't know how that fits in. But apparently so it fits actually into the words. That's what they bring. Okay.
One other thing, on Magalusov, without the yours.
Yeah.
We said earlier, it's a remnant of the chalitza, which is actually the 1 foot.
Ah, so why there? But the question is why there?
Why earlier, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's amazing.
Okay, it could be. Okay, Pasuk Tesvov. Vayomer he said, "Hovi hamitzpachas, give the scarf asher alayich, which is upon you, the ochazi vok, and take hold of it. Vatoches bon, she took hold of it. Vayomod sheish seirim, and he measured out 6." Barleys, by Yosha Sola, and he put it upon her, by Yovo Ha'ir, and he came to the city. Now, I'll first just go with the posh pshat that the Malbim says, it's not posh, but he says, what's these 6 barleys? So he says it means a sixth of a sa'ah. So he brings her elsewhere, you find such a loshen, sheish kamin a sixth. He says it means a sixth of a sa'ah. What's a sixth of a sa'ah? It's a cup. He makes a cheshbon like this, it's a cup. The Mishnah in Peor says that an oni who is over Mokim Namokim, an oni who passes through, how much are you mechuyev to give him? He says, it's actually, the Mishnah says, kikol bepundion. He says, half a cup. If you actually look in the Mishnah, it's actually a quarter of a cup if you bake bread. Because if the baker then has to take his profits, it's only a quarter of a cup. But I assume what he means is, if you give it to him just as produce, you have to give him half a cup. So what did Boaz give her? He gave her a full cup, enough for 2 meals. Whose 2 meals? Rus and Normi. Now, surely that's not enough. They also need, that's for breakfast. What about for the evening? He was being meramis to them, don't worry, by tonight everything's going to be sorted. You'll be married tonight. Either to me or to Tov, it'll all be sorted out tonight. That's what he's being meramis to. He only gave them enough for 1 meal. That's what he says. Rashi says, Shesh Zerim, he's this drawing on the Gemara. The Gemara says, I think it's in Bava Basra, it says that, I mean, it's actually the Medrash. He's quoting a Medrash, but there's a similar Gemara which says, well, what did he give? 6 pieces of barley? It's a bit mingy. So what did 6 sa'ah? That's a bit much. He can't, you know, a woman can't carry six up. Elamai says, well, it was six pieces of bodies. He was alluding something to her. That you're going to be zecher to six children, six tzaddikim, and more or less out who they were, six tzaddikim will eventually come forth from you, from your descendants, who will all have six qualities. That's what he says. Rashi says something slightly different. That you will be zecher to David HaMelech, which fits very nicely with what we said until now, who will have six milas. What are the six milas? The Post says you have Ruach Hashem. What are they? Ruach Chochma, Uvino, Eitzo, Ugvuro, Ruach Das, V'Yirach Hashem. Six milas. Doesn't seem to count the first one, Ruach Hashem. Yeah, the Ruach Hashem seems it's not counted in the things. It could be that's the seventh, which is going up and above. I don't know. So now I was thinking, it got me thinking that maybe this Sheish Zerim, why six pieces of barley then? So it got me thinking that barley is, where else do we find barley? It's by the carbon of the Seitel. And then I thought, Mitpachas, what's the scarf? The scarf is maybe her head covering. The Seitel, you take off the scarf. Then I thought to myself, well, what's that got to do with the Seitel? On the contrary, but then I found, and I don't really understand it, but I found in the Bali Tosis, they do say, they don't say by the Mitpachas, they say the Sheish Zerim, I don't know how you can check it out, but I think it says six times in the parasha Sheish Morim, so six times it says Wer Morim, six times Me'orarim, and six times, I don't know if you mean six times in the parasha says Sheish Zerim, I don't have a chance to check out. I don't really understand what it could be he was alluding, in other words, don't go to anyone else, wait, don't be a certain others, don't go off to anyone else. It could be he was saying, That because it says that you'll be zeichet to tzaddikim like the sota, if she's found innocent, then she'll be zeichet to amazing children. I don't know, I'm not sure, but then I thought of another pshat based on the same idea. This means pachas refers to the head covering. I thought of it, I think, which is a very nice pshat, is like this. There's a story in Yomo of a woman called Kimchis, that they asked her, why is it her seven children were all zeichet to be kohanim gedolim? They asked her, why? What have you done? She said, because I've got such amazing tzniyas that my head covering never comes off. Not even the kodesh basin, not even the beams of my house see my hair. So he was saying the same thing to her. He was saying, going on what Rashi says, you're going to be zeicher to a child who's sheish, right, he's got these six midos. But you know what's a chus? It's the mitpachas. It's the head covering. In other words, it's the that epitomizes, if you want, the tzniyas of a woman, is in that head covering. Right? It says that your tzniyas, which we've seen time and time again, and it fits even better into this, the way you being able to lie here at night. He's saying to her, I know you're not, there's no priestess in this. I know it's all the shame shemaim, you're an ishot tznua. In the zechus of that tznius, you're going to be zech to such a child. And again, sheish tzorim could be going on the same lines as what we said before. Tzorim is animal food, is the idea that David HaMelech had 6 days of working out until he came to Shabbos. That's why he wasn't seven. Right, you find this, also Kimchis has seven children as well. Also in that story, I forgot to say there as well, with the six beds, and the seventh was gold. Also, I mean, obviously the simple shot in the story is, even what was she doing there? What we can take from that is there were six silver and then the seventh was gold. Again, the same idea. He went and took the message. Right, the same with the Rakia, as also the seven Rakim. Then we do find this number which appears a few times.
So was saying she'll be zochah to six tzaddikim coming from her?
That's sentence. The Gemara says six tzaddikim, which, and according to Rashi, it's just referring to David HaMelech, he's drawing in the Medrash.
Yeah.
Just be, it's only referring to David, we'll have these six minus, which, as I said, fits very nicely with the Mitpachas.
So, if this Mitpachas is her head covering.
Oh, so what? How could he ask her to uncover her head? So I told this to somebody on Shabbos, they asked the same question. So it could be, it doesn't mean take it off. Just take it. Maybe it was a big head covering. Take a part of it and I'll put it in. Yeah, I'm presuming it means that. Yeah, somebody asked me that on Shabbos as well. Okay, Posuk Tesayin. Valtovo El Chamosayin. She came back to her mother-in-law. In other words, Marvin says they came together to the city. Once they got to the city, sort of the edge of the city, they departed. He went into the city, and she went in. Sorry, they came. Yeah, and then she went to her mother-in-law. Valtomer, and she said, the mother-in-law said, Mi'at Biti, who are you, my daughter? Right? In other words, it's still dark out. Remember, it's before Meshayakim, so she didn't know who it was. But that's my slight inkling that maybe she thought, she was a bit surprised, what are you doing back? I thought he was going to do Yibam tonight. That was the whole point of it. Because look at what she then said. It fits very nicely with the reply. Vatagelo, she told her, Iskalasha Osalochoish, all the man did to her. She said no, because the man, i.e. Boaz, said we have to wait. It will all be sorted today, don't worry. Right? That's what's going on in the post. She said, what are you doing back? Right? She said, don't worry. She told that it filled in on everything. Everything will be sorted today. It couldn't be done last night. And that's how it continues in Pasuk Zion. But Toman, she said, according to the Malbim, this is, he gave me these six pieces of barley. Sorry, according to the Malbim, it means a cup of wheat, of barley. Ki omar ilai, because he said to me, do not come empty-handed to your mother-in-law. In other words, you should have something for breakfast. What about for supper? Ah, because by tonight it'll all be sorted out. So it fits very nicely. She was saying, what are you doing back here? It should have all been... She said, no, it'll all be completed by tonight. That's why he gave me this cup of barley. What's the Eli? Right? So again, in a simple sense, he was speaking to me. In a more spiritual sense, he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to Nisham. He was saying, Shesha Se'erim O'Ela. That's a remnant of David HaMelech, as we said, it would have these six milers. Ki Omar, because he said, Al Tovi, you the Neshama shouldn't come back Reichom Al Chamesich. Zainu, by tonight, the Yibam will have been done and the road will be paved for the birth of Normi's son. Who's Normi's son? As we said, according to the Malbim, that is David Hamer, Oved, and then eventually David Hamer. Therefore, that's the two things here. Simple Peshat, he was speaking to me. I shouldn't come back empty handed. In a more spiritual sense, it was David Hamer. Normi will have, she will eventually have her children. And finally, Pasuk Yud Ches. Sorry? Okay. Vatomer, and she said, Shaviviti, sit my daughter, I will stay here, Ad Asher Tedin, Ech Yepel Davar, until you find out, until you know how literally the matter will fall, in other words, how it will come about, yeah, be resolved. Wait and see whether it will be Tov or Bayaz, Ki Lo Yishko Toish, because I can see full well from the amount of food he's given us, that the man's not going to rest, birds will not rest, ki'im kilo hadovar hayom, unless the matter is sorted out today.
So there's a lot of food he gave Rus.
No, it was a small amount, only enough for breakfast. Only enough. It's enough for breakfast, it's enough for one meal for both of them. For both of them. So ki'im kilo hadovar hayom, unless the matter is resolved today. Again, you hear. Same sort of thing, you've got ki'im, it's the same lotion as you had ki'im girl on. He could be referring back to it because he didn't say, she could have said ad, until he completes it. Ki'im implies except if he finishes, he won't rest unless he gets it done today. So it could be it refers back to ki'im, possibly you've basically got ki'im there, which he could say, which he says was because he's not sure who, right? So maybe that's the going
it's
on.
Either Tov or it's me, Boaz.
Yeah, so it's going to be, that's it. He's not going to rest until it's sorted out.
Today, yeah.
That's it. And that concludes Perek Gimel. And as we'll see in Perek Dalet, it continues on with the this final Yibam when finally the Neshama of David HaMelech will be freed, ready to pave the way. Yeah.